Hi everyone, I'm Gabriel Ha here with GoE Native. Ale is not with me, as you can see, because he is on vacation slash conference talking to customers, that sort of thing. But we wanted to make sure to release content for GoE Native, you know, each month for you guys. It's near the end of February, but it's still February, so we are keeping true to that. I had the privilege earlier of talking to Gor Nishanov. He is actually a recent addition to the Visual C++ team. I think he's been around for maybe around 2 months. I guess we'll find out in the interview. So let's get right to that.
I'm very pleased to be here with Gor. Gor is you're new to the team, right? How long have you been here?
I joined the team in December, about 2 months ago.
Nice.
Before I was in OS division for 15 years.
Mm. Wow.
And sure. Before that, I was involved briefly with for a few years with C++. Generic programming project back in RBI.
I see.
With one of the inventors of STL, Stable Library, Dave Messer.
Very cool. So yeah, we're very glad to have Gor on the Visual C++ team now as our as a developer. So so Gor, you recently went to the standardization conference. Is that correct?
Oh yes, we had in Issaquah. C++ standardization meeting, and C++ 14 is almost out of the door.
Yep.
So it will not be delayed like before when you're saying C++ 0x. No. C++ 14 is coming out in C++ 14. And I was in concurrency subgroup or study group.
Okay.
And one of the changes that were made very, very late into the game is a very, very trivial change. It's even funny to talk about it, but it's we renamed shared mutex that was already part of the voted in C++ standard into shared timed mutex.
Mm-hmm.
So I can later explain the motivation why we went for that change. And
absolutely.
That went through. Okay, so in C++ 11, we had, I think, four standard mutex types added. And mutex is also, sometimes it's called a lock. It's a primitive for mutual exclusion. So it has lock and unlock member functions. So when you lock it, nobody else can lock it. And usually it is used to acquire lock and then manipulate some resource protected by that lock. And at the end, you can unlock it. And the mutex is the simplest primitive with as few operations as possible. It only has lock, unlock, and try lock.
Mm-hmm.
Then there is a time mutex variation which adds timed lock acquisitions where you can say, okay, try acquiring a lock for about 5 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And if you fail to do so, well, stop trying after 5 seconds and let me know.
Yeah.
So essentially, try lock 4 and try lock until is a timed variations on the mutex. Then recursive mutex is a different flavor of mutex which allows recursive acquisition. So it's when you acquire the lock, you start doing something with the protected data, right, that is protected by the lock, and then you call some other function. And that function might not be aware that the lock that protects the data is already held, so it will try to acquire the lock again. So for regular mutex, it is considered an undefined behavior. So a debugged version can maybe detect that and throw an assert, or just deadlock. But recursive mutex guards against that. So if you acquire the same lock from the same thread multiple times, you can later release that lock multiple times and eventually the locks get released. And then there is a variant for that which combines timed acquisition with the recursive lock. So those primitives were available in C++ 11. So C++ 14 added shared mutex primitive, which is essentially just like a mutex, but it supports two modes of acquisition. You can either hold exclusively that mutex, those kind of mutics are also called reader-writer locks. So if there is somebody who wants to modify the data, he acquires the lock in exclusive mode or in the write mode. And when somebody wants to read, you are not getting into a conflict with other people who want to read the same data. So many people can acquire the lock in a shared mode simultaneously. But of course, if you have a bunch of readers now that are currently actively holding the lock in read mode, well, you should not allow somebody to acquire the lock in the write mode.
Right.
And vice versa. As soon as somebody grabs the write lock, then nobody else can do a read lock until the writer releases the lock.
Okay.
So shared mutics is essentially extended version of the mutics, which supports try lock shared and unlock shared operations. So in addition to having regular one, lock, unlock, and try lock, it has three more that supports acquisition in a shared mode. However, shared mutics was not consistent in naming with respect to the mutics as we had before. The philosophy behind this four locks was that mutics one is the most simplest one, it has the fewest number of iterations, and thus it can be implemented most cheaply on the particular platform. And then we add more iterations on top, and that may make lock slightly bigger, but you don't have to pay for the extra functionality you're not using. We did not follow the philosophy with shared mutics, because shared mutics was actually combined timed operations as well. So try lock shared and try shared for and try lock shared until were mixed in with the shared
okay.
mutics.
I see.
So
it kind of did everything, and there was nothing to specialize
right.
it from one to
yes. And to a degree, it depends on the platform whether this actually makes a difference or not. For example, let me quickly get my cheat sheet. So on Apple MacBook Pro, mutics is 64 bytes, and timed mutics, let me think, it's 120 bytes. So there's a difference. Shared mutics is 168 bytes. So that's and also shared time for Apple, there is no distinction between the shared mutics and shared time mutics. It's
okay.
all the same. Bytes. On Windows, mutics is 8 bytes.
Wow.
Yep.
It's quite a difference.
Time mutics 16. And I'm not interested in the recursive bits.
Sure.
So we'll just skip those. And the shared mutics in Windows, can you guess the number?
16 maybe?
8.
Wow.
And shared time mutics will be 16.
Okay.
So essentially by renaming the shared mutics to shared time mutics, we left the room for a smaller and cheaper version
okay.
of the mutics in the future.
Yeah.
And because it was so late in the game, we weren't able to actually introduce shared mutics for C++ 14 because we could only do such a little change like rename. Anything that wasn't bigger was considered to be absolutely impossible that late in the game because it's almost ready to ship the standard. So we were able to rename it, and soon we'll introduce the shared mutics in. And why on Windows shared mutics is so small, and by the way, it's actually the same size as mutics.
Yeah.
Well, because since Vista, we have wonderful slim reader-writer lock in Windows, SRW locks. They are just essentially anatomic. It's the int pointer-sized value. It does not allocate any system resources, neither in the constructor nor during the lock operations.
I see.
So, and it can never fail. It's one of those wonderful APIs that you have, you read on MSDN, and it's void everywhere. None of the operations can actually fail, so you don't have to check for an error code. And by the way, the same SRW look can serve as the mutex and as a shared mutex.
Okay.
It's one and the same. It does not incur extra cost. Traditionally, people were concerned that using a reader-writer lock is more expensive than using an exclusive lock. Mm-hmm. But in this case, they don't have to decide. They can always use SRW lock, and if they use it in the exclusive mode, it will be the fastest exclusive lock in the system. If they use it in the shared mode, well, it is the fastest shared mutex at the moment on the system. And it wasn't the case before. We used to have critical section in Windows. And that critical section used to have an unusual failure mode. During lock operation of a critical section, it would attempt on demand to allocate a kernel event if it needed to actually suspend a thread and let it sleep for a while the lock is held by somebody else. But in some rare situations, you cannot create on-demand the event. And that would essentially throw an exception from the lock acquisition. And very few people were writing code to actually correctly handle. Mm. And if you try to handle it, it makes your code horrifyingly complicated.
I see.
So I think in Vista, we completely eliminated that error mode. Mm. Instead, there was an extra pre-allocated event, one per process, that essentially a critical section will fall back to if it failed to allocate its own event. It will be slightly slower, but at least the lock can never fail.
Which is good.
Yes, but you don't have to worry about critical section anymore.
Exactly.
Because in addition to making this fix in critical section, we also had SRW lock and conditional variable introduced in Vista that essentially do not fail, ever. And that allows us to implement mutex and shared mutex in this tiny little 8-byte value. And it's 8-byte on 64-bit. I think it's 32-bit value on 32-bit architecture. I think I'm done.
Excellent.
That's it for our show today. Big thanks to Gore for taking the time to talk to us about what's new and upcoming in C++ 14. Standardization, I suppose. Just making sure that there's consistency across the shared mutex, so not just having shared time mutex, but also shared mutex, and taking advantage of existing infrastructures that have been around since Vista. So hope you guys will look forward to taking advantage in the upcoming C++ 14 of these nice, small, compact mutexes. So as for the show, this is Going Native. It's native all the time. If there's stuff that you would like to see, we do, each episode is a little different. Some are more educational, like the ones you've seen today. Some of them, could be more amusing, that sort of thing, or just, more discussions on what's already out there, upcoming features. Anything you guys are interested in, just, leave a comment in the comments below, and we will make it happen. So I'm Gabriel Ha. Hopefully Ali will be here with me next week. Thanks for watching.